What is happening? Welcome to another Plus Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. Today's April 25th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Between Two Burns. That is this game of Corbin Burns against the Rays was good. 5.1 innings, one earned run, three total, two unearned, three hits, three walks, and eight strikeouts here. That is a much more productive Corbin Burns, which, by the way, I will mention the umpire was giving a little bit extra to Corbin Burns with that cutter down and away, but that's the main thing. The cutter was down. It wasn't middle. And what I've been saying is that Corbin Burns' cutter is getting more rise. It is less drop, which isn't a good thing. You don't want it at 13 inches of vert. You want it really at 9 or 8. This was at 11, but one of the aspects of it is not just that it's going to be harder to hit with that drop, is that Burns generally aims middle with that cutter. And the more that it gets drop, the more that it gets lower, which is more important. So when he's at 13 inches of vert and not getting it down, you know, and throwing it, it's normally just middle. This was 11 inches, which isn't good, but he looked like he actually tried to get it lower this time, which is nice. Still, the secondaries are lacking. This slider that we're seeing this year is not the big whiff slider of old. It is less drop dramatically, like 6 inches less, which is huge. And then we also have 3 inches less horizontal bend as well. So it's coming in a little bit harder with much less movement, and that is more of a bridge pitch. That's like that strike pitch that you want, which I guess I get because Burns isn't getting strikes with any secondaries, so fine, but that cutter already acts like this a bit, and you don't really want that slider to be that pitch. You want it to be the big whiff pitch that he throws, so I'm a little eh about it. The changeup and curve are not quite there either. I would say this is a good sell-high moment for Corbin Burns. I'm not quite a believer that the cutter is going to come back in full. The secondaries are still not really what we want them to be. And with a line like this, everyone goes, yeah, 5.1 innings, 100 run, 8 Ks, this near one whip. Totally great for Corbin Burns. He's fine. I'm not sold that he is quite yet. Shane Smith against the Twins is still looking great. And this is so funny because I keep saying the same thing. Shane Smith is not stretched out yet. He is not getting through his fatigue later in the innings, but he keeps succeeding. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. It was against the Twins. It's only 5 innings and 82 pitches. And the velocity did drop again. But yeah, he's making it work. The changeup actually only 50% strike rate in this one. It's a good mix, though. I like it. It should get better. He gets Milwaukee next. I guess we're still doing it. We hope that by June, he's going to be better with this stamina. But maybe he never gets there this year. I don't know. Shane Smith is cool. I guess we're just going to keep rolling with it. Cade Povich. Oh, man. So two things about this. One, if you didn't know, last weekend, Cade Povich was pitching and Kevin Brown, the broadcaster of the Orioles, brought up that Cade Povich told Kevin Brown about pitcher list in an article written by Nate Schwartz that you guys should read, that baseball's offensive environment is changing. And he referenced it, talked about it on the broadcast, which is so cool. And it was two things that was cool. Is one, of course, pitcher list getting a shout out on the Baltimore Orioles Masson broadcast from Kevin Brown. Amazing. And Nate Schwartz deserves all that praise. And second, that Cade Povich told Kevin Brown about it. So I reached out to Cade Povich. I was like, yo, man, this is awesome. I felt really bad that he had such a terrible game on Saturday. And long story short, I was supposed to have a podcast with him today for an episode of The Craft. And that got pushed back to Wednesday next week. So enjoy that 9 a.m. on Wednesday next week. I'm going to be talking to Cade Povich. I'll do it live with everybody here, so that would be really fun. It'll be before, of course, my morning stream. Now, last night, I asked him, actually, before this one, what are you working on? And he pretty much said, like, look, I just need to attack early more, and I need to make better swing and miss pitches in 0-2 and 1-2 counts. And that's what he did. 6.2 innings of one earned run. 6.2 innings and 87 pitches should showcase, hey, better efficiency, attacking better early. 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 8 whiffs. So we saw a lot of good four-seamers for called strikes, 10 over 25, but really the entire secondary package against right-handers were strikes. He threw changeups, he threw sweepers, sinkers, curves, all of them to allow those fastballs get those called strikes, and that's cool. Lefties, it was just like sweeper cities, 54% sweepers to lefties. And they were solid. They were good. He also had some rare sinkers up and in that were cool. This is fine. I'm not quite ready to believe that this is a fixed Cade Povich. It was against the Nationals too, but the command of the kitchen sink is it's a little more questionable of like, is this always going to work against right-handers? But it certainly was an improvement from that terrible, terrible game on Saturday. So I'm glad to see that from Cade Povich. Excited to talk to him and really talk shop a lot more moving forward. I'm not sure I'm ready to go for this in this next start. I think it's still a little bit questionable, but I am excited that he got back on the horse. One of the things that we see from a lot of young pitchers is that they do poorly and they don't adapt. He adapted. That's really cool. Mike Lorenzen got Rocky Road. And I got to say, Rocky Road is just like the greatest thing ever right now. That Rockies offense, I was talking to Kyle Bland because we put out our updated PLV offensive ranks, which is what we use for our daily projections and weekly projections with PL Pro members. You got to get them, by the way. My gosh, we look out a week ahead for you. And and the Rockies not only are one of the worst offenses in baseball on the road, if not the worst, they're also streamable in Coors. They're just that bad of an offense, which is kind of wild. Anyway, Lorenzen didn't get them in Coors, got them on the road. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 4 walks. You don't need to walk these guys. 7 Ks. And I feel like Boromir saying, it is a gift. Oh, man. He did not get changeups for strikes. And that's why you have the 4 walks, 36% strikes. Man, against left-handers, he tried to do the Blake Snell blueprint, which is cool. And honestly, that still helps. Even though it's not strikes, it's down. It's not like wide, which means it does help that four-seamer and curveball tunneling. So that's fine. And you went dancing with the disco with sweepers related to right-handers. It's just like, there they are. Not really well spotted down away, just like over the plate and stuff. And it worked. So there you go. And go back to the wire. If you did add this one in your 15-teamers or your AL onlys, I didn't go for it in 12, but Lorenzen can do that. Okay. Mackenzie Gore against Baltimore. 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. My gosh, the slider is still so good. That new one that it made me feel like Mackenzie Gore was a different pitcher from that first game of the year. And now he's gone 4 games, I want to say, of doing great, 2 not so great. One was against the Marlins, which is just what. He gets the Phillies for the first time since that first game. I think he got, I think it worked against the lefties with that slider fine. I think he got lucky with the fastball down the middle to righties. That fastball was not the same command we saw against the Rockies. Oh my gosh, it was so good upstairs. It's what I dream of, that command. And it was not the same here. I don't think we're going to see the absurdity we saw on opening day, but I think we just got to keep going with the core. We're hoping that this is a cherry bomb, not a hipster. Cherry bombs are guys we hold all year who are volatile, while hipsters are ones that you don't know if you should or not throughout the entire year. Brian Wu did great in Fenway. Love to see it on the road, away from the team, in Fenway, which is not a fun place to pitch. 16 whiffs, 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. The four-seamer was brilliant to lefties upstairs. I mean, just absolutely brilliant. And his attack to right-handers was kind of terrible. The four-seamer went way too upstairs. The sinker was just down the pipe. Didn't really have much else, but everything was great to lefties with that four-seamer writing just being so good. And it's weird because, I don't know, like, you would think that Brian Wu would have enough things against righties to make that work, and it was just bad. But then the four-seamer just overwhelmed. You keep writing with Brian Wu. Our biggest concern has been health. And you got to understand, it's not just that we've seen a month of Brian Wu being healthy. We've seen 2 months, because that includes the spring. Guys get hurt all the time in the spring. So every single time he makes a start and he's healthy, he should go up the list. It's just more and more health and less time to get hurt for the rest of the year. As he says this, and I'm sure something's going to go bad, like Cole Reagan's last night, groin injury. So painful, so frustrating. In a phenomenal matchup against Rocky Road. So it goes. We're going to get testing today and see how everything is. I hope he's all right. That was a doubleheader, of course, with the Royals and the Rockies. We have other guys to talk about today, of course, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Chris Paddock having a revenge game, kind of, against the White Sox. It was 5 innings, only 2 runs. It wasn't 9. However, it was 9 base runners in 5 innings and 5 Ks, and he got a loss. And we did not give PL Bot the win, because that's a really harmful whip. 1.8 innings, you only got 5 innings of a 2 ERA, so it's like a 3.6 ERA, which is like, the whip hurts. You don't get a win, and it's just 5 strikeouts. Very close, but I don't think that's a win. He did have 19 to 20 inches vert on his four-seamer, but he was at 92.9 miles per hour in the four-seamer. And smart move by Paddock, right? Not throwing sliders. He threw 4 of them, 3 for 4 strikes. One of them was a meatball to Sosa at the start, I believe the third inning, and it was hit for a home run. It was like down the middle and like, oh, first pitch of the inning. And it's like, dude, just don't throw the slider. Slider's not very good. He only threw four of them for a reason that's better. But yeah, it's not a situation I want to go after Paddock still. Jacob DeGrom, Mason's going to ace. He is not the best pitcher on the planet, and it stinks. His slider might be one of the best pitches in baseball still. The four-seamer command isn't quite as impeccable as we've seen in the past. I think that's what's messing him up a little bit. Keep in mind, Wyatt Langford missed the ball in the lights, and it costs ERA and also maybe six innings from Jacob DeGrom, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, six hits, zero walks, and six Ks. 35% CSW, King Cole. Like, Jacob DeGrom is not the 35 to 40% strikeout guy who's going to have a 1.7 ERA and a 0.8 whip or whatever. I get it. Fine. He's still going to be incredibly good for your team. He's an SP1, etc. It won't be the DeGrom you know until he's spotting the four-seamer a little bit better. That's it. You have Tobias Myers against the Giants. He came back. It's nice to see him. 42% sliders against right-handers is interesting. Four innings for 82 pitches, though. 17% CSW. And it's not quite there. Four innings, two earned runs, four walks, and two Ks. It was a first start back for Tobias Myers. I think I was a little too aggressive ranking him in this. I should have probably put him in do not start. That's on me, guys. I knew it as I was doing it too, and I was like, I didn't want to correct things, and it's so dumb. This is my fault. I take full blame for this. But Tobias Myers, I kind of like that he's throwing these sliders more. I think that's interesting. He has a cutter that he threw against the lefties that was 3 for 12 strikes. That's a 25% strike rate. So that explains the four walks. I think he's going to actually be much better moving forward. He still has 19 inches of vert on the four-seamer. He gets the White Sox next, and he's already at 82 pitches. So honestly, my biggest concern with Myers was just that he wouldn't go very long, and he didn't, but it was 82 pitches. It wasn't so much that he would go four walks. I think it's going to be better next time, especially if the cutter is not a 25% strike rate. That's just not going to be replicated. Tyler Anderson against the Pirates. Six innings, 300 runs, which is not good, but you got a one whip, which is good, but one strike, and how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This would not be a streaming victory because that is 4.5 ERA with a one whip. All you got is a one whip. You didn't even get a win out of it. Quality start, I can't even give it. 14 whiffs, by the way, and one strikeout. Oh, gosh, that's the life of a changeup pitcher. You know, oftentimes we see this. Changeups, believe it or not, are the least efficient put-away pitch. You'll see guys with higher swing strike rates. If you see, like, a exceptional swing strike rate, but a lower strike out rate than you'd expect, it's because they're a changeup guy. We just know this. They're just not as good in two strike counts for whatever reason. It's just they're not put away pitches the same way that sliders and curveballs and four seamers even are. It's weird. You have Carmen Mlodzinski against the Angels, and I call him a clown car because he's a car full of men. I am so sorry. That's the only thing about it. Don't go after Carmen Mlodzinski. For the Pirates, you have JT Ginn against the Rangers, 3.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. Kind of interesting. Still, he has that extra drop on the sinker, and that's awesome. The slider was better against right-handers this time too, but he needs to spot it better than this. I mean, he had a really good game of command that got me interested, and now he's like not doing the things anymore. He's not at 95, he's at 93, which is the same as last year. We need the legit sinker of good spots with it and the old slider, and then we can talk. But right now, okay, again, I'm not going to pay attention to you until I see that again. Drew Rasmussen, oh no, he's mortal. Four earned runs, guys, in five innings. Oh man. He led a home run. He had like two and whatever. The cutter and sinker were hit harder than they usually are. Snecks got to him. Okay. He's still dope. Makes us feel dope. Look, what's so interesting about Rasmussen is it was five innings of four earned runs, but still a 120 whip, five hits and one walk in five Ks. Like, it's not a disaster when it didn't go his way, you know? He's still amazing. Garrett Crochet against the Mariners, very weird and disappointing outing as he got a gallows pull with 17 whiffs and 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. But his 4 runs, 5 hits, 5 walks. What? You need 110 pitches because his cutter and his sinker were just not commanded. He kept missing everything arm side. And it was just bad. He had to throw 17 changeups plus sweepers to try and find more strikes, which didn't really work. The four-seamer is still great. And he's still also at lower extension. And I don't really know why. I got to figure that one out. Because something is going on with Christian. Maybe he's trying to like conserve his effort more. Like he's, you know, essentially extension is a product of your lower half, right? How far out you're getting. And, you know, you can understand if guys have elite extension and then they pull it back because they want to conserve energy. But I don't get it. From going from a 7.2 to a 6.7 is a big drop for Grosjean this year. And it does make me, if I knew that he'd be a 6.7 extension guy entering the season, I would not have had him as my SP2. Still getting 17 whiffs and 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, and he should likely have a better commanded cutter and sinker, so I'm not really worried about this at all. But it is strange, isn't it? Landon Roop, oh man, this was the day of, like, all these disappointing starts from guys that we think should be better. I mean, obviously we mentioned Reagans already, but Landon Roop, 3.2 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Oh my gosh, what happened here? The curveball was still effective, but he didn't get enough strikes of it. So when he was competitive with them, they were effective. And the sinker was generally good, but it wasn't quite good enough. Like, it was slightly off the plate, wasn't getting those calls, and that's it. He didn't throw enough changeups and cutters to lefties, really. I think that you see Roop when he's going against right-handers, and he does really well. The sinkers go inside, the curveball is really effective. But against lefties, when he has a lot of lefties, I really think that Roop should be throwing more of these changeups and cutters. I think they are effective offerings, and he didn't really turn to them here. I think it's a fluke of a start. I think he's going to be better against the Padres, even though it is the Padres and not, you know, a better matchup. And last two here, you have Chase DeLander and Germán Márquez. You know Germán Márquez should not be started, even though it was outside, of course. While Chase DeLander, I know, has gotten some attention because he throws hard, 98 miles per hour. Oh my gosh, he has nothing else, and it's empty velocity. It's not really with good pitch metrics, right? It's not a elite extension or elite four-seamer ride up, you know, the vert, thank you, oh my gosh, Nick, or the greatest height-adjusted VAA, right? It's not that package. It's just pretty much you throw hard. And it is somewhat flat, and if you do have that amazing location upstairs, fine, but it's you need more. And Chase DeLander doesn't quite have that yet. Over time, maybe, the cutter does get strikes, but it's not enough. So you take Chase DeLander out of Coors, and then you put him on a team that I think actually will work with him and develop with him, then we can talk. But I don't think that Chase DeLander should be rostered at all in your 12-teamers. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for following along and then subscribing into PL Plus and PL Pro. I think I've talked a lot over these podcasts about all the things we want to do, but I actually had a really fun call yesterday with a game designer, a video game developer / designer, who I told him my pitch for my baseball mobile game. And he said to me he gets dozens and dozens of pitches every year, and this is his favorite one that he heard the entire year. And he's not really a baseball guy. So maybe something comes out of that, of, you know, he's going to talk to some people to see if we can figure that out. But that's the kind of stuff that you are supporting with PL Plus, PL Pro subscriptions, okay? It's not going to investors or CEOs, they're money guzzling it. We don't have that. We don't have those payments. Instead, we go straight to making more products and making things better for your subscriptions. So I hope that comes to fruition. If it does, it would be like 2-3 years from now. But I guarantee you, you'll enjoy if that game actually gets made. Oh my gosh. That's the kind of stuff that you will be getting back for your subscriptions. But that is it for today. So thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bounce be low and your strikeouts high.